Hare Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Rishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priya, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Deta Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda It is appropriate that today we read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I've chosen a verse from Madhya Lila chapter 13, the Lord's dancing at Ratha Yatra, verse number 119. Matta Gaura Shame Donghe Tela Teli Svarate Shamere Rakke Gaura Mahabali Matta Gaura Shame Donghe Tela Teli Svarate shamere rakhe gaura mahabali
Svarate shamere rakhe gaura mahabali
E matta gaura shame donhe tela teli Svarate shamere rakhe gaura mahabali
Svarate shamere
Others can Ladies,
E matta gaura shame donhe tela teli.
Svarate shamere rakhe gaura mahabali. Okay. E matta.
In this way.
Gaura Shyame,
Lord
Jagannath and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Donhe, between both of them, Telateli. Competition of pushing forward. Svarate. In his own car. Shyamere. Lord Jagannath. Rake. Keeps. Gaura. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahabali. Greatly powerful. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Thus there was a sort of competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong that he made Lord Jagannath wait in his car. Purport. In his Anubhashya, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes the ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as follows. After giving up the company of the gopis in Vrindavan, Sri Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, engaged in his pastimes at Dwaraka. When Krishna went to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister and others from Dwaraka, he again met the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita. That is, Krishna himself assuming the part of Srimati Radharani in order to understand Krishna. Lord Jagannath Deva is Krishna. And Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leading Lord Jagannath toward the Gundicha temple corresponded to Srimati Radharani's leading Krishna toward Vrindavan. Sri Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, was taken as the kingdom of Dwaraka, the place where Krishna enjoys supreme opulence. But he was being led by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan, the simple village where all the inhabitants are filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. Sri Kshetra is a place of Aishwarya Leela, just as Vrindavan is the place of Madhurya Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's following at the rear of the Ratha indicated that Lord Jagannath, Krishna, was forgetting the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Although Krishna neglected the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he could not forget them. Thus, in his opulent Ratha Yatra, he was returning to Vrindavan. In the role of Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was examining whether the Lord still remembered the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell behind the Ratha car, Jagannath Dev, Krishna himself, understood the mind of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Jagannath sometimes fell behind the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to indicate to Srimati Radharani that he had not forgotten. Thus, Lord Jagannath would stop the forward march of the Ratha and wait at a standstill. In this way, Lord Jagannath agreed that without the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, he could not feel satisfied. While Jagannath was thus waiting, Gaurasundara Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, immediately came forward to Krishna. At such times, Lord Jagannath would proceed ahead very slowly. These competitive exchanges were all part of the love affair between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. In that competition between Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy for Jagannath and Jagannath's ecstasy for Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emerged successful. And so ends Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, E matta gaura shame dohe te lateli sharate shame re rake gaura mahamali. This verse is within a section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I consider as one of the most dramatic moments in the work. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the Amrita of the Charita, the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there is so much nectar, so much Amrita, that one cannot begin. Even Krishnadas Kaviraj himself, in writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, says, how can I possibly begin to describe the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this work? There's a lot of drama in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and much of this drama has to do with the fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in one sense, has a double identity. It's actually even more complicated than that. He has, you may say, a triple identity. The double identity is, on the one side, he is Krishna himself, and he has expressed prior to appearing in the world his resolve to appear in the world for a special purpose, but that purpose cannot be realized as Krishna. As one devotee has put it, I think, in an interesting way, he says, God has a problem. What? God has a problem? Yes, and the problem is somewhat similar to a problem that we have. What is that problem? The problem is that God has no love for God. And when he sees the love of God, the love of himself, of Krishna, demonstrated, shown by Srimati Radharani, he is amazed, he's overwhelmed. And he admits in the Bhagavatam, I cannot reciprocate your love. Na pareham niravadya samyujam svasadu kritya vibhudayu, even for the time of Brahma, if given that time, I would not be able to reciprocate properly your love for me. So what to do? The Lord decides. And when the Lord decides something, it's going to happen. We decide so many things, but what happens to our decisions much of the time? Krishna simply laughs. But when Krishna decides something, it's going to happen. So he decides to appear in the world in the mood of Srimati Radharani. More broadly speaking, in the mood of Krishna's devotee. So this is the double identity on the one side, that he is the Lord and he is the Lord's devotee. And this causes problems sometimes in the course of Mahaprabhu's life when the devotees want to praise him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What does he do? He closes his ears. Don't say such things. This is madness. Because his mood is that he is a devotee of Krishna. But it gets more complicated than this. Krishna, in the mood of a devotee, appears as Radha. And so, as Srimati Radharani, appearing, he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is simultaneously Krishna. So he is Radha and Krishna, right? Shri Chaitanya, how does it go? Shri Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahe Anya, he is none other than Radha and Krishna. So it's a little complicated. And one way this is expressed by Krishnadas Kaviraj is that Mahaprabhu has an internal purpose and an external purpose. We might say this in a slightly different way. He has an inward directed purpose and he has an outward directed purpose. And the reason I've chosen this particular verse as a starting point that we reflect on the wonderful identity and the ways of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here we have a description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radha. He is absorbed in his inner directed mood and he is relating with Lord Jagannath as Krishna. And where is all of this happening? It's happening in the most public situation imaginable. So it's a very private thing, but it's happening completely in public. So two things are going on simultaneously, and only a few of the devotees know what's really going on, so to say, what's going on internally with Mahaprabhu. But I wanted, rather than to elaborate on this internal relation of Mahaprabhu, I want to attempt to share with you one way of appreciating some features of Chaitanya Charitamrita which you may not have been aware of in quite this way. And for this we prepared one slide. But first I want to ask you, how many of you have read the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita? How many of you have read Chaitanya Charitamrita? Okay. How many of you have started reading Chaitanya Charitamrita? Okay. Those of you who have not started reading Chaitanya Charitamrita yet, I would humbly suggest that you start today. Today is the best day to begin this project of reading this wonderful work. Those of you who have not yet started, would you agree that this is a good day for starting to read? Yes. Are you going to do it? Yes, no, maybe. That was a sort of a mild yes. Yes?
Yes!
Ah. Now, today is a fasting day, which gives you more time to read. It's not that you take excuse, I cannot read, I am too weak to read. Because I'm fasting. So today, and those of you who have been reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, today is a good day to finish reading. Well, at least it's a good day to continue reading, okay? And those of you who have already read all Chaitanya Charitamrita, don't think you're off the hook. Today is a wonderful day to begin again. What do you think? Haribo. Hare Krishna. Okay, now, please bear with me. I know this is going to be a little bit on the analytical side. And you may think, we don't want to be analytical on this day. We just want Amrita. Well, my apologies in advance. We're going to be a little analytical. And I hope you'll find this helpful in your reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, let's go to the next. All right. Well, it didn't come out in quite the same proportion. And I know it's a bit small for you to read. So I'll, in any case, it's quite opaque. It's not very clear what's going on here. So I'm going to try to explain in the next few minutes what I'm trying to show here. What you see looks like some sort of a target. It's so many concentric circles. So what I'm doing in this chart is giving one idea, and this is not the only way we could do it, of the different sorts of persons that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets and how he relates with them in Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are categories of persons that Mahaprabhu meets, and he has different pastimes with them. But in all cases, we can say this has to do with his outreach, with his outward-directed activities. Now, it's all about the outward activities, the outward-directed attention, but it begins in the center, where the center, this yellow circle, is representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his immediate associates, his intimate associates. So we can know, especially the Panchatattva will be located, so to say, within the center. And so many devotees who are referred to in Chaitanya Charitamrita would be included within this central circle. But we know that Mahaprabhu is encountering persons who are not identifying themselves, at least not in the beginning, as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so here I've made this set of sort of categories which come in this form as concentric circles, indicating closer and further away from Mahaprabhu and, Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Okay? And so the immediate concentric circle, it's sort of a pink-purple color just outside, is representing other Vaishnava communities, other Vaishnava traditions. We see, for example, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu travels to South India, he meets with, and actually he stays with, for the entire 4 months of Chaturmasa, the rainy season. He stays at Sri Rangam. So we all, or most of us may know that the Sri Rangam temple is a kind of headquarters of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And the head priest of the Sri Sampra, of this temple at that time, what was his name? Who remembers? Yes, Venkatabhatta. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed with his family for this time. And Krishnadas Kaviraj describes the friendly and indeed joking exchanges that they had while he was staying there. These are very sweet exchanges. And at the same time, Mahaprabhu is saying, you know, your understanding of things is somewhat not complete. Your Lakshmi Devi, who is very much worshipped in the Sri Vaishnava tradition, therefore it's called Sri Vaishnavism, she wants to come to Vrindavan to experience the rasa dance. So what do you say to that? Huh? So in this way, he was joking. And there are other representatives of other sampradayas referred to in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Mahaprabhu encounters. One of them, you may not be aware, you know of perhaps Keshava Kashmiri? Kashmiri? Yes? Keshava Kashmiri, it turns out, was a prominent person of the Nimbarka Sampradaya. And so Mahaprabhu's meeting with him and, humbling him is a description of an encounter with one of these four sampradayas, in effect. So I won't spend... We can do a whole seminar on this this chart. We can discuss for quite some time, but I'm just giving a little sketch, considering our short time. Then, going to the next concentric circle, which here is referred to as other Brahminical traditions, is indicating other pastimes, and specifically it refers to Mahaprabhu's encounter, for example, with Prakash Ananda Saraswati, whom he met where? In Varanasi. And we know that Prakash Ananda Saraswati was of the Advaita Vedanta Sampradaya, beginning with Shankaracharya. And that meeting was very significant because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishnadas Kaviraj tells us, was able to change his heart and to inspire him to take up the chanting of the holy name Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes. And then there are other persons we could refer to in this category, so to say. But I want to move on to the next category. And this category includes actually three different groups, but they're all in one category, which have the common reference Pashandi, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj. There are Shaktas, there are Buddhists, and there are tribals, what you call Adivasi. Each one of these are referred to in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meeting with representatives, you can say, of these different groups. So Buddhists, again, in South India, there's a somewhat humorous episode when Krishnadas tells us, and Krishnadas wouldn't have been there personally, but he must have heard about it from Raghunath Das Goswami, who would have heard about it from others, that some small group of Buddhists with their guru decided to they wanted to attempt to embarrass Mahaprabhu. And how would they do this? They would trick him into accepting food which is untouchable. And so they brought this large plate of various food, unmentionable and untouchable foods for Mahaprabhu to take. The idea being that it would be proper etiquette for him to accept this offering. To, we may say, help him to avoid this such an embarrassment, what happens? Mahaprabhu gets help from a crow. A bird comes swooping down and grabs the plate out of this Buddhist's hand, lifts it up, and drops the content with the plate on top of the head of the head Buddhist. Boom! And he falls to the ground, and that's the end of that practical so-called joke. So in this way, the encounter with Buddhism is briefly mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The reference to tribals comes in a wonderful pastime. Mahaprabhu is on his way to Vrindavan. And of course, in one sense, we can say the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu either wanting to go to Vrindavan, or going to Vrindavan, or being prevented from going to Vrindavan, or finally arriving in Vrindavan, or being asked by his servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, Mahaprabhu, could we please leave Vrindavan now? This was after only 2 months they were there. And his servant, his personal servant is saying, Guru Maharaj, could we please leave Vrindavan? Why would he want him to leave Vrindavan? Too much ecstasy. So much ecstasy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life was in danger. Why? Because he would dive into the Yamuna River. It had become a daily activity, not just to take a swim, but in his absorption, there was a danger that he would drown. And so Balabhadra had to go and save him again and again. And he was getting tired of this. This is too much. So he said, Mahaprabhu, please, can we just leave Vrindavan? It's too much ecstasy. And he said, all right, if you insist. Because he wanted to please his devotee. Before he arrived in Vrindavan, on his way, he went through one jungle, Jarikanda. And in Jarikanda, he met with the forest animals. And what happened with the forest animals? Wonderful things happen. We may come back to that in a moment. After meeting the forest animals, he met some tribals from the Bila tribe. And he inspired them. He inspired them to do what? To chant. To chant what?
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And so he continued on, and he eventually arrived in Vrindavan. The next category, which is in a sense further distant from the center of Mahaprabhu and his associates. I have to say in a sense, because we're not making absolute categories here, are the Muslims. And there are several references in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Mahaprabhu encountering Shanti, 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 Shanti. Your punishment is you have to purchase a set of Chaitanya Charitamrita today. Okay. So there are several references to Mahaprabhu's encounter with Muslims of various status and so on. The story which Srila Prabhupada seems to have liked to recount the most was about how his followers, Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami, left their service to the Muslim king of Bengal in order to join him. And in their great humility, the Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan, when they lived in Jagannath Puri, kept their distance from the Jagannath temple because they felt themselves to be so fallen, having been associated, having worked for, having been intimately interacting with the king and his associates, who were all Muslim. But then, of course, we have a similar situation with Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki? Which has this wonderful description of his many encounters with Haridas Thakur, culminating in when Haridas Thakur departs the world. Such a touching pastime this is, which demonstrates above all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deep appreciation, deep acceptance of Haridas Thakur as his very own, to the point that he lifted his body, the body of Haridas Thakur, and danced with that, with the body. No, in normal society of that time and that place, there were two reasons he would not be expected to touch the body. Number one, it was a dead body. It was a corpse from the mundane perspective. And he was considered Muslim. Ooh. Considered untouchable. What did Mahaprabhu do? He embraced him. He lifted him. He danced with him. Such an amazing pastime. So in all of these categories of personalities we see in the chart, there are these thin lines connecting to identify the categories. But then there are these arrows. And the arrows are indicating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going out. He is reaching. He is touching all of these different sorts of persons. Social categories, you may say. Philosophical categories and so on. There's one final category on the outer edge that I've identified here. And this consists of, what did I put here? Four different groups. Animals, plants, objects, and substances. Now, again, with animals, we can refer to the Jarikanda pastime, in which the Lord inspired all the animals not only to chant the holy name, but also to embrace each other. Tigers embracing deer, and Krishna Das tells us, not only embracing, but kissing. So, and then he comes to Vrindavan and he comes to Govardhan. And Govardhan, what is Govardhan? It is stone. And what is Mahaprabhu doing when he comes to Govardhan Hill? He's embracing the stone, and the stones are melting from his tears. these interactions. In Puri, he is running over the sand dunes because he's thinking this is Govardhan. He's diving into the ocean because he's thinking it's Yamuna. So his interactions with animals, with plants also, trees and birds, and objects, physical objects. It turns out he has his most intensive ecstatic emotions in relation to animate and inanimate. We may use the word objects. All of these connections he's making, bringing everyone, bringing us as we read Chaitanya Charitamrita into the center. He is allowing us, he's opening up the possibility to associate with him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the Panchatattva are associating. What do the Panchatattva do? According to Krishnadas in 7th chapter, 8th chapter of Adi Lila, how do they spend their time? They become plunderers. You know the word plunder? Hindi mein, plunder? Huh? I'm getting about 10 different words for plunder. Huh? Thief. Yes, a plunderer is a thief, and a thief is a chor. Huh? Yeah. But plundering is a little more than theft. What is plunder? Plunder is taking everything, right? I mean, a thief might just grab a few jewels and run, but a plunderer takes everything. So what's a plunderer? Lutera. Lutera. Yes, lute. Yes, so Panchatattva, they are doing this only. They are plundering so that nothing is left. Nothing is left. First of all, what are they plundering? Where are they plundering? The storehouse of Krishna Prema. There's a storehouse, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, we can say. And they are plundering that storehouse and they are distributing the goods. They're very generous. They're not keeping it for themselves. They're distributing it. Who are they distributing it to? To everyone. Everyone. Not considering who is qualified, who is not qualified. Because if we consider who is qualified in this age of Kali, no one is qualified. We are not qualified. So they're distributing to every... And what happens to this storehouse of love? Krishna Prema, what happens? Is it emptied out? So sorry, no more. It's finished. Have to make new order. Next yuga. No. It keeps filling up. It keeps filling up. So they keep plundering. And that plundering is giving us all opportunity. And that opportunity is to join in the plundering. If you had a secret desire to be a thief, you can now engage it in devotional service. Hare Krishna. So panchatattvatmakam krishnam bhakta rupa sarupakam bhakta avataram bhaktakyam namami bhakta shaktikam. And Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Shivas, Adi, Gaura Bhaktavinda, Shivas Adi, Shivas Adi, Shiva's Adi. Hare Krishna. So, Gaura Bhaktavrinda, we are invited to participate and to come thereby into the center of this sort of analytical analysis, so to say. But to do this, of course, we follow Mahaprabhu's instructions. And to do this best, we read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'm hoping that, Krishna willing, I may be able to come here toward the beginning, end of this year or beginning next year. And I hope that when I ask, have you all read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, beginning to end, that you will all be able to say, yes, we have done our homework. Yes, is that okay?
No?
Yes? No. Maybe. It all depends, you know, coronavirus and, you know, there's so many problems. Okay. So I will stop there. Thank you all very much. There is something. Is Gauranga Prabhu here? You're here. Okay. Grantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Gaur Premahanande. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we are very honored to announce, you can stay on Maharaj, that we have with us His Holiness Krishna Kshetra Swami Maharaj. He joined ISKCON and took initiation in 1972, and he was active in preaching across Europe. And in 1995, as a coordinator for a research group, he was one of the first people who compiled the Pancharatra Pradeep, a complete manual for deity worship, for establishing deity worship standards for whole of ISKCON. And subsequently, the ISKCON GBC nominated him as a GBC minister for deity worship from 1995 to 2005. And in 2004, he obtained a PhD from University of Oxford for his dissertation on Chaitanya Vaishnava deity worship. So he's a PhD in deity worship. He is now a research fellow of the University of the Oxford Center for Hindu Studies. He also teaches at Bhaktivedanta College, Radhadesh, University of Florida, Gainesville, Chinese University of Hong Kong, and in several universities in China. And now, more recently, he is one of our faculty at Bhaktivedanta Research Center at Govardhan Eco Village. And on 14th of March, they're having a conference on the Bhagavata traditions in Maharashtra. And Maharaj is one of the faculty who's involved in that. And from our temple, we have Deen Gaurang Prabhu, who's assisting Maharaj in this effort. And we are very grateful that Maharaj is guiding us in this wonderful academic efforts. And today, we are very honored that Maharaj's latest book, which has been published by Macmillan, and it is known as Cow Care in Hindu Animal Ethics. It's a beautifully written book from the academic perspective, especially on the importance of Goseva. And in the last 2 months from the time it has been released, Maharaj has been so liberal, he has given it free PDF download. And so that 16,000 downloads have happened, and it is available on Amazon. And today we have the honor, on the occasion of Gaur Purnima, to also do the book release of this book by His Holiness Krishna Kshetra Swami Maharaj. So we request Maharaj to release this book and offer it to everybody as a wonderful token of appreciation. Yeah. Haribo! So if you are searching for this book on Amazon, it is Cow Care in Hindu Animal Ethics by Dr. Kenneth Valpy. So that is his legal name, and please do order a copy. And if you don't want to order a copy, free download is also available. You are a very unique author. So you are in mood of Mahavadanyaya. So therefore, this book is appropriately released on Gaur Purnima. Maharaj has that mood. Free download. So let us express our gratitude to Maharaj by loudly chanting. Haribo, Haribo.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
So on the auspicious occasion of Gaur Purnima, I will speak about the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the perspective of how he has made Krishna consciousness so accessible. Three aspects I would like to highlight. First is overcoming resistance to bhakti. Second, offering assistance to the Lord and to the Lord's devotees. And third is obtaining persistence or steadiness in the practice. And through Mahaprabhu's interactions with his associates, these have been highlighted. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit wishes to travel with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu has very strictly ordered Gadadhar Pandit not to leave Jagannath Puri. Gadadhar Pandit jabe sangete cholila kshetra sanyasa nishedhila prabhu nishedhila. So Mahaprabhu says that I have ordered you not to leave Jagannath Puri. You should stay here only because this is your Kshetra Sanyas.
Prabhu kahe इहारह कर गोपीनाथ सेवन पंडित कहे कोटि सेवा त्वत्पाद दर्शन.
सो महाप्रभु टेल्स गदाधर पंडित यू स्टे हियर एंड सर्व गोपीनाथ एंड गदाधर पंडित सेज एक्चुअली बाय कंटिन्यूअसली सीइंग योर लोटस फीट एंड सर्विंग योर लोटस फीट आई विल सर्व गोपीनाथ मिलियन टाइम मोर. महाप्रभु इज नॉट वेरी इंप्रेस्ड विद दिस आर्ग्यूमेंट एंड महाप्रभु टेल्स हिम दैट एक्चुअली इफ एन एसोसिएट एंड अ सर्वेंट दिस ओबेज द इंस्ट्रक्शन देन द मास्टर गेट्स द ब्लेम. सो महाप्रभु सेज प्रभु कहे सेवा छाड़िबे आमाय लागे दोष इहा रही सेवा कर आमार संतोष. यू जस्ट स्टे हियर एंड सर्व लॉर्ड गोपीनाथ आई विल बी वेरी प्लीज्ड आई विल बी सैटिस्फाइड. सो गदाधर पंडित डज नॉट स्टॉप हियर. गदाधर पंडित थिंक्स आउट ऑफ द बॉक्स एंड ही थिंक्स ऑफ अ वे हाउ ही कैन फुलफिल हिज ओन डिजायर एंड ही सेज Actually, my dear Lord, you are traveling by one path. I will come by another path. So, both of us will not be leaving Jagannath Puri together. So, nobody can accuse you that Mahaprabhu has taken Gadadhar Pandit. You go on your own. I will come on my own. But I'll meet you in Bengal. How do you like the idea? Mahaprabhu says, no. It does not work because there are two properties which a devotee has. And what are those two properties? Mahaprabhu says,
Amar sange rahite chah bancha nija sukha tomar dui dharma yaya amar hoy dukha.
If you leave these two of your most important duties, तुमार दुई धर्म जाए अमार होए दुख, I will be in great pain. The two assets which a devotee has is his service and his vow. If a devotee gives up his vow and he gives up his service, then nothing else remains. The core assets for a devotee are the vows which he takes and the service which he has at the lotus feet of the Lord and the devotees. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enforces that Gadadhar Pandit goes back to Jagannath Puri.
Prabhu lagi dharma karma chade bhaktagan bhakta dharma hani prabhu na hoye sahan.
So Kaviraj Goswami says, the devotees were willing to give up everything just for the association of the Lord. Association of the Lord, an opportunity to have darshan of His divine form, was so attractive that the devotees were willing to give up everything just to be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhu lagi dharma karma chhade bhaktagan. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not acknowledge this. He did not accept this. Bhakta dharma hani prabhu na hoye sahan. And Mahaprabhu could not tolerate anybody deviating from his vows and deviating from his service. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu insisted to Gadadhar Pandit that you must follow these principles for auspiciousness in spiritual life. And therefore, Chaitanya Charita Amrita basically is the character of the soul in immortality. The soul within the material world is used to the principle of offending, denying, creating obstacles in the plans of the Lord, to rebel and not follow. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to demonstrate that progress in bhakti is only possible by following the principles of Vaishnava Seva. And therefore, the Lord's plan cannot be overcome and one should try to follow the Lord's plan at any cost. So these are some of the most important principles which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is described that there are three main causes of a conditioned soul's entrapment within this material world. Till the soul overcomes these three main roots, these three principles root the conditioned soul to the material world. And what are these three things? It is said, first is false arguments. Tendency towards false arguments. Nahi adbhutam tat charanabdharenu bhir. Hatam haso bhaktir adhokshaje amala. Mahortikat yasya samagamachame dustarka mulo apahato aviveka. So dustarka mulo is false argument. The tendency for false argument, second, false pride, and third is a lack of discrimination, aviveka. How can it be overcome? He says, nahi adbhutam tat charanabjarenu bhir. By serving the lotus feet of the devotees, by following the will of the Vaishnavas, gradually the tendency to rebel, to have these false arguments, to have lack of discrimination will be overcome. Hatam hasho, bhaktir adhokshaje. Bhakti towards the lotus feet of Lord Adhokshas, the Supreme Lord, is established when one follows these principles. Tasse tasya janononam nayam vedor vikramam, kalyamanopi valino, vayor iva ghanavali. The Lord's will can never be overcome. It is infallible. It is all-powerful. And therefore the association of devotees gives us an opportunity to follow the Lord's will and agree to serve the Lord's will which comes through the devotees. And that's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dealing like this with Gadadhar Pandit, demonstrating that unless one overcomes resistance to one's own desires and plans, one cannot progress further on the path of bhakti. So therefore, rationalization is defined as use of intelligence in the service of the false ego. And therefore, here we find that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, progress in bhakti is possible when we develop four types of attitude. First, you have to be able to cultivate to see good qualities in others. Second, have the faith that no one is a rogue. No one is eternally damned or fallen. Third, he says, learn to see Krishna's hand in every situation. And fourth, develop the positive attitude and be optimist that there is some plan of Krishna behind this, which is there for my reformation and for my transformation. And this principle basically helps us overcome this resistance. And the difference between austerity and higher taste is austerity is to say no to sense gratification grudgingly, and higher taste is to say no to sense gratification willingly. And so, resistance decreases with the increased realization that whatever one may do, Krishna is ultimately in control. And therefore, the first stage is overcoming resistance. The second stage is, how can we offer assistance? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Jagannath Puri and Nityananda Prabhu is right there along with him. And Mahaprabhu tells Nityananda, Nityananda kahe shuna shripad prativ ei ami magitumi karaha prasad. O Nityananda Prabhu, I have a special request for you. And what is that? Prativarshe nila chale tumina asiba gaudarahe mora icha safala kariba. Every year, you should not come to Jagannath Puri. You should stay in Bengal and preach Krishna consciousness in Bengal. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, is Mahaprabhu denying Nityananda Prabhu a special privilege by telling him to stay in Bengal? Prabhupada writes, a faithful servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by executing Mahaprabhu's order, by being faithful in sacrificing his comforts, there will be a greater fortune which will arise in his life by following the principles of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he comes in the mood of a devotee as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, I seek assistance in spreading this mission. I also need help. And therefore, I request you, O Nityananda, to help me because I can only preach to the scholars. I have my limits. But you can go to anybody and preach to any class of society. And therefore, Mahaprabhu demonstrates his dependence on Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore, what is the solution to overcome this resistance? We should try to follow the instructions of the devotees which is given to us. When Krishna is in the spiritual world performing pastimes with his gopis, so there are three categories of gopis. First are the prime eight gopis who are known as the Paramapreshta Sakhis. Then the second is the 64 gopis who are known as the Priya Sakhis. And amongst them, there are those who are Krishna Snehadhika, who are more inclined towards serving Krishna. And the second category is Sama Snehadhika, those who are equally inclined towards Krishna and Radharani. The third category, apart from Paramapreshta and Priya Sakhis, is known as the Prana Sakhis. And the Prana Sakhis are those who are very special. This category of gopis have only Srimati Radharani's pleasure in their mind. And their only agenda is how to make Srimati Radharani blissful and happy and bring Krishna and Radharani together. And therefore these Prana Sakhis or Nitya Sakhis, these are very, very powerful gopis who have two characteristics. They're extremely determined to serve Srimati Radharani selflessly. They are not caring about whether Krishna spends time with us or not. They simply want Srimati Radharani to be happy and they want to bring Srimati Radharani close to Krishna. And they are determined in doing so. Along with determination, their second aspect is their detachment. They are not concerned with their own pleasure. They are only concerned with bringing Srimati Radharani closer to Krishna. And this kind of mood which these sakhis have in their heart of only exclusively wishing and desiring Radharani's pleasure is known as Radha Dasyam. And therefore, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute this mood of Radha Dasyam, which is service without any selfish consideration. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered to be Mahabhadanyaya, one who has distributed the highest amongst those who are the most fallen. And therefore Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, understands this, and he is assisted by the Goswamis, who are all the Manjaris from the spiritual world. And therefore, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this instruction to Nityananda Prabhu, Mahaprabhu tells him, Taha siddhi karehena anyena dekhiye, amara dushkara karma toma hoite hoye. Mahaprabhu says, apart from you, O Nityanand, I do not see anyone else who can make this thing happen. Only you can make this happen. I have full faith in you. Taha siddhi kare hena anyena dekhiye. So Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport where he says that by Lord Vishnu's grace, a Vaishnava is empowered to become more powerful than even Vishnu, just like Hanumanji, just like Arjuna. And this is the special prerogative of Vishnu, that a Vaishnava is empowered to excel Vishnu. And Prabhupada says, this is the power of the Guru Parampara, that once we follow the instructions and assist in the mission, most impossible things become possible. And therefore, this is one of the aspects of Krishna's personality, which is beauty. And what is Krishna's beauty? It is his ability to give credit to others. Krishna's quality of giving credit to his devotees more than himself is what makes his character beautiful. And everything is arranged by the Lord, and by the grace of the Lord, credit for victory is given to Hanumanji, given to Arjuna. And therefore Prabhupada says, similarly in the Krishna consciousness movement, everything is happening according to the prediction and desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu agrees to give credit to the sincere devotee who tries to follow these instructions. And therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu responds and he says, Nityananda kahe, ami deha tumi pran, deha prana bhinna nahe, eto praman. My dear Lord, I am just like the body and your desire is just like my soul. It is actually the soul which animates the body. It is your desire and your will which is animating me. The will of the master, the will of the Vaishnavas animates the life of the devotees. And what happens as a result? Achintya shakti karatumi tahar ghatan jekarah seikahi nahikaniyam. And as a result of desiring to follow the instruction and the will of the devotees, inconceivable potency is released. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the jiva is insignificant. How come the insignificant jiva manages to do impossible things? So there are a few steps in between. When the insignificant jiva agrees to become an instrument in the Lord's service, and he agrees to follow the instructions of the Lord and his devotees. So when one follows the instructions and considers oneself to be insignificant, as a result, inconceivable potency of the Lord is released. And when that inconceivable potency of the Lord is released, impossible things become possible and impact is seen. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses Nityananda Prabhu as an instrument to demonstrate that in material life, skill is all powerful in creating impact. But in spiritual life, it is submission which is more important than skill, which is responsible for creating any kind of transformation. And therefore, Prabhupada mentions here that yes, Nityananda Prabhu agrees to follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. And so Achintya Shakti means what? Achintya Shakti does three things. First, there is the Lord's Mugdhata. First is the Lord's Sarvagyata. Lord is all-knowing. Lord is aware about His power in every corner of the creation. But still at the same time, Lord also has second aspect called Mugdhata. Mugdhata means Lord becomes oblivious to His own power, overpowered by His devotee's love. So the Sarvagyata and Mugdhata both are apparently contradictory principles. So the Achintya Shakti's third characteristic is it harmonizes this Sarvagyata and Mugdhata. And the Lord is simultaneously all-knowing and simultaneously overwhelmed and overpowered by love and is unaware. And so, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that it is ultimately the attraction towards the Lord which creates wonder and makes us dedicated towards Him. So hearing about the Lord with love, with gratitude, with sincere appreciation makes us sacrifice our own desires, and then we are eager to serve the Lord and His devotees more and more. And so it is described that the Lord is all powerful and all attractive, but it is the love within the devotee's heart which makes us hear those pastimes and understand what I must do in relationship with Him better. Similarly, also when it comes to reciprocating with devotees, that yes, we have to offer assistance, but it becomes easy and possible to offer assistance when we have feeling for the devotees. So it is the feeling and the emotion which actually makes us follow those instructions much more easily than if theoretically just instructed. And so Srila Prabhupada had five characteristics which made him extremely successful to establish a global movement. Srila Prabhupada appreciated all the devotees. Secondly, Srila Prabhupada recognized excellence, and he gave credit when he recognized that excellence. Thirdly, Srila Prabhupada was extremely enthusiastic. Fourthly, he was very, very humble. And fifthly, Srila Prabhupada gave creative freedom to his devotees and allowed them to practice Krishna consciousness and spread Krishna consciousness, and Srila Prabhupada tolerated things when they made mistakes. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada actually is a great example of someone who demonstrated this principle, that by practice of Krishna consciousness, we can inspire others to also follow suit. When Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, some of his disciples were trained to do yajna, and they were trying to do some yajna. And at that time, some of the local Brajavasis, they came and started complaining to Srila Prabhupada that their Vedic mantras, they're not chanting properly. This is not the proper chanting of the mantras. Prabhupada said, they are just practicing now. So allow them to do for some time, and then they'll be perfect. So Prabhupada was always encouraging and inspiring and allowing the devotees to do their best. And so Kaviraj Goswami, he also describes that when he was in Vrindavan, Tatibvasya Chesada Brajendra Nandan Shri Govinda Deva Nama Sakshat Madan. He is there in the temple of Radha Govinda Dev, and millions of devotees are serving the deities. Sahasra Sevaka Seva Kore Anukshan
sahasra vadane sevana jaya varanan. With millions of tongues, it is impossible to describe the glories of the sevaks there. Sevara adhyaksha sri pandita haridas tarayasha guna sarve nahoi prakash. And amongst them, the topmost is Pandit Haridas. And this great personality who is the best amongst the devotees, he is filled with Vaishnav qualities. And what is the supreme most quality which he has? Vaishnavera guna grahi na dekhaye dosh kaye mane bakya kore Vaishnava santosh. With body, mind and words, he is simply trying to serve the devotees and he does not see the faults in the devotees. Vaishnavera gunagrahi, he only sees the good qualities of the devotees. And he simply tries to serve the devotees. And Kaviraj Goswami says, this Pandit Haridas instructed me. Teho ati kripa kori, agya koila more. He actually instructed me. To do what? What was that instruction? That instruction was to complete the remaining pastimes which Vrindavan Das Thakur could not complete. Gaurangera sheshalila barnibaratore. That you should write these pastimes. And then he says, other Vaishnavas in Vrindavan also instructed me. And I was in a very old stage and I was thinking what I should do. And so, being bewildered, he went to the beautiful deities. Vaishnavera agya paya chintita antare madana gopala gela agya magi bare. He goes to the deities of Madan Gopal. And he says here, Vaishnavera agya paya, having received the instruction of the Vaishnavas, chintita antare. So the word chintita, we may think is, why was I given this service? But in the case of Kaviraj Goswami, his chintita was, I have been given this service, how can I accomplish this? Because people like Vrindavan Das Thakur have performed this service to excellence. I must do some justice to this service. And therefore he goes to the deities of Madan Gopal, Shilam Shishi Madan Mohandev, to pray to them. And in this way he decides that yes, I will follow this instruction and write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And therefore it is said, to follow the word of God is difficult. But more difficult than to follow the word of God is to follow the will of the Vaishnavas. But more difficult to follow than the will of the Vaishnavas and the word of God is the whim of Krishna. So the whim of Krishna is the most difficult to follow. Prabhupada's one disciple, he wanted to make him the leader and the temple president in one temple. And he did not want to take that role. And he came to Srila Prabhupada with a whole list of arguments on why he cannot become the president there. And then he came and offered obeisances to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked at him and Prabhupada said, I have a service for you. And this devotee was ready with his list of arguments. And he said, yes, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, I want you to take sannyas. This devotee got bewildered. He was not prepared for this. He said, sannyas? Prabhupada, I just got married. Prabhupada said, so what? You take sannyas. Prabhupada said, it's not possible. I got a small son. Krishna will take care. He said, Prabhupada, I cannot do this. Prabhupada said, no, no, have faith in Krishna. He said, Prabhupada, I am willing to do anything except take sannyas. Prabhupada said, become president. So it is not so easy to follow the will. But the most difficult
is we are all preparing ourselves through the unpredictable will of the Vaishnavas so that we can ultimately match the random, total unpredictability of Krishna's constantly moving desires in the spiritual world and how we can reciprocate with that. And therefore, in the Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami says that Atyahara Prayasascha Prajalpo Niyamagraha. The things which are unfavorable for bhakti, one of them is prajalpa. And so, prajalpa basically means that some kind of talk which is unfavorable. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur analyzes and he says, there are 8 types of prajalpa and we must try to overcome these 8 types of prajalpa to keep our mind peaceful. And he says, what are these 8 types of prajalpas? So he says, samrigya shreyasam hetu pantha santapa varjita anva tapta shramam purve yena santa pratisthire. Why we follow in the footsteps of the great souls to do favorable and avoid unfavorable things? Anva tapta shramam purve. By following the Mahajans, bhakti becomes easy. Second, anva tapta shramam purve. Panthah santapta varjita. One's experience of bhakti becomes devoid of misery. And samrigya shreyasam. Following in the footsteps of the great soul makes things auspicious. And therefore, prajalpa consists of, number one, useless talk. Useless talk basically means spending time with materialists and spending time with materialistic sound vibration. Second type of prajalpa is very important in this context, which is argument. An argument, as per Thakur Bhakti Vinod, wastes the mind strength and increases restlessness. And it attacks on the capacity of the mind to contemplate two things, how to serve Krishna and how to please Krishna. And therefore, it is described that this argument basically must be overcome, the tendency to argue. The tendency to argue must be replaced by Ata eva Bhagavata karaha vichar. And so the Acharya's commentaries and tika of Bhagavatam are also in the style of argument. Because we have a tendency to argue. And therefore Acharyas, while giving commentary, also will ask question, what if like this, what if like this, so that we get a higher taste of argument and we get connected to the bona fide argument like that. So this is the second principle, and the source of useless argument is envy, pride, aversion to sense gratification, attachment to sense gratification and foolishness. The third kind of prajalpa is gossip, to talk all kinds of things, especially to establish one's own reputation. The whole root of gossip is to establish one's own reputation. And then the fourth principle is debate in prajalpa. And debate arises from a desire for conquest. Fifth prajalpa is fault finding, which arises from imposing one's own bad habits on others. Sixth is falsehood. And seventh is worldly talk. And eighth is to blaspheme others. Once we are able to overcome these 8 types of prajalpa, then the mind develops an ecosystem by which it can actually follow. And therefore here, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving instruction to Lord Nityananda, that please, you stay here in Jagannath Puri and just follow me. At this point, Nityananda Prabhu agrees because he is completely in a mood to offer his assistance. So once we overcome resistance and offer assistance, then there has to be persistence. Because it is always easy to begin, but to maintain is not easy. And so, the example of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is given. And what is that? Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to give up and come to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rakshake rahata mui ke mone chutiba ke mone prabhur shange nilachal jab. When I will give up and come to you in Nilachal, and Mahaprabhu is very all-knowing. Sarvagya Gauranga Prabhu Jani Taraman Shiksharupe Kohetare Ashwasavachan. So Mahaprabhu is all-knowing, and Mahaprabhu gives very important and pertinent instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami that if you simply have utsaha without dhairya, you will be influenced by the mode of passion. If you have only dhairya and no utsaha, you will be influenced by the mode of ignorance. So you have to have the nishchaya sandwiched between utsaha and dhairya. And therefore Mahaprabhu says, sthira hoye ghore jaho nahao batul krame krame pailok bhava sindhukul. Be steady, go home, continue performing this same activity steadily. And then you must focus on your internal consciousness, not the external. Antare nishthakara bahye loka vyabahar achire karibe Krishna tomara udhar. So if you are thinking of Krishna within, how to serve and how to please carefully, externally, whatever situation you may be in, that is secondary. And so Raghunath Das Goswami may think, when will I actually get an opportunity to come and take shelter of Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri? Mahaprabhu says, Brindavan dekhi jabe asibo nila chale, tabe tumi amapas asiha kona chale. Mahaprabhu says, the fundamental requirement for steadiness and persistence is to have faith that Krishna is my well-wisher and Krishna will make the perfect plan for me. Brindavana dekhi jabe asiba nila chale, when I go and see Brindavan and come back, tabe tumi amapasha asiha, that time you come to me without fail. So Raghunath Das Goswami may be thinking, I am completely surrounded by all guards and it is impossible for me to even come out. How will any situation change? Sometimes our present situation is so depressing, so distressing and so hopeless. It becomes very difficult in the present circumstances of hopelessness to have a heart filled with hope about the future. How is it possible? Mahaprabhu says, Se chale se kale Krishna sphurabe tomare, Krishna kripa jare tare ke rakhi te pare. You don't worry about that plan. Lord will make plan for you. Se chale, se kale, Krishna spurabe tumare. At that point, Krishna will inspire you. A window of opportunity will open. Many windows open for many people many times. But Krishna, at the right time, gives the intelligence to recognize that open window. And then, Krishna kripa jare tare, ke rakhi te pare. Once Krishna has given you that indication and you follow suit, who can control you? It is impossible for anybody to control you, because Krishna, once he has decided that you must come to me without fail, you have to come. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami went to Lord Nityananda Prabhu in Panihati. And Nityananda Prabhu started calling him a cheat. That how can you dare to approach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly without going through the devotees? And so Raghunath Das Goswami first served the Vaishnavas. And serving and pleasing the Vaishnavas and receiving their blessings helped Raghunath Das become persistent. And so Nityananda Prabhu, he pointed towards Raghunath Das and to all the devotees, and introducing him, he said, Krishna Pada Padma Gandha Jai Janapai Brahmaloka Adi Sukha Tare Nahi Bhai. This Raghunath Das has smelt the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet, and therefore all the opulences of the Swarga cannot be attractive to him. And so Raghunath Das Goswami at that point found the opportunity and ran towards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, towards Jagannath Puri, going through the forest path. Grame, grame pat chhadi, jaye bane bane, kaye mane vakye ka chintye, chaitanya charane. And what was the secret of his persistence? Kaye mane vakye chintye. In his mind there was constant meditation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And therefore, he ultimately attains Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, and in this way demonstrates steady persistence. And so, a person who aspires for steady persistence must follow five things. One should not aspire for happiness, not regret distress. Third, be satisfied with one's position and understand that yes, I can serve Krishna best in this situation. Fourth, follow bhakti with enthusiasm, with great utsaha. And fifth, tolerate happiness and distress while executing devotional service. So in this way, we find that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the example of Gadadhar Pandit, is showing us the principle of overcoming resistance. Through Nityananda Prabhu, he is showing us the example of how to offer assistance. And through Raghunath Das Goswami, he is demonstrating the principle of how to obtain persistence and steadiness in the practice of devotional service. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give what no other incarnation has given before. Anarpita charim chirat karunaya avatirna kalau. Anarpita charim, that which has never been given before. So what are the things which Mahaprabhu has come to give, which has never been given before? First, Mahaprabhu says that I have come to make you forget your material desires. Right? Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita says about, you know, he quotes this, Krishna kahe ama mage, ama bhaje mage vishay sukh, amrita chhadi visha mage ei bada murkh. That if someone worships Krishna and he asks material desires, he is a fool. So Krishna says, Ami bigya ei murkhe vishay kene diba, swacharana amrita diya vishay bhulaiba. So Krishna says, what do? When a devotee serves me, I release nectar from my lotus feet. And that amrita makes that person forget that wish of sense gratification. So Mahaprabhu has come to distribute that amrita by which
every conditioned soul can get connected to serve Krishna's lotus feet. Second, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has completely transformed the way killing was done by Krishna in his previous avatars. When Krishna appeared as Lord Ram, they were in the forest, and in Dandakaranya, Sita Devi saw that there was a huge pile of bones, and Sita Devi looked at the bones, and Lord Ram looked at the bones, and then Lord Ram asked one of the sages, "What is this huge pile of bones?" And the sage replied that, "Well, there are asuras here in this forest, and those asuras kill the brahmanas, kill the sages, and they have made this pile of bones." Lord Ram became extremely angry. Immediately picked up his bow, placed the arrow, and started shouting and screaming, "I have come to protect dharma. I will destroy those who are against dharma. I will kill those rakshasas. I will kill those asuras." His eyes became huge, became red. Lord Ram started shouting. Sita Devi looked at Ram and she said, "I do not like when you become so aggressive. I do not like to see you in this angry mood. And I think as soon as you come in contact with this bow and arrow, your nature changes. So I don't want you to carry. I don't want you to actually do this kind of killing thing." So Lord Ram said, "Okay, I promise that when I appear next, I will not use any weapons to kill." So when Krishna was born, and then he was performing pastimes in Gokul, so his uncle Kamsa was sending many toys for Bhanja. So Mama's duty was to send toys of different types, and children's dharma is to break the toys. So Krishna was breaking toy after toy and saying, "I am not happy with this also." And so many toys and so many demons Krishna killed. But Vishnu Chakra Thakur writes an ashtakam called Swayam Bhagavat Ashtakam, where he describes how Krishna used every limb of his transcendental form to kill the demons. He did not use any weapons. So Krishna fulfilled his promise, which he made to Sita Devi in the last life, that he did not use weapons, only his limbs. But then Srimati Radharani was not happy, and she complained to Krishna, "You made a promise that you will not kill. You are still addicted." Krishna said, "I think you didn't hear properly. I never said I will never kill. Try to play the recording. I never said I will never kill. I said I will not use weapon to kill. Theek se suno." And so Radharani was not happy with that also. And she thought, "I have to enter into the heart. And only when I come in, then that mercy and compassion will overwhelm." And so when Srimati Radharani enters into the heart, and when Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, then finally Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his mood as Mahavadanyaya does not kill. He only kills the sinful tendencies within the heart. And therefore it is described here that Morena Manile Sabaloka Hobenash Itthi Lagi Kripardra Prabhu Korila Sanyas. Mahaprabhu becomes so merciful that those who are opposing him, the Mayavadis, to deliver them he takes sannyas. He gives up his own enjoyment to deliver those who are envious of him. And therefore, Mahaprabhu starts thinking, Sanyasi buddhye mure koribe namaskar itti lagi karibe prabhu korila sannyas. So therefore Mahaprabhu takes sannyas to deliver. Sanyasi buddhye mure koribe namaskar. Because people will worship the sannyasi. And therefore he decides, yes, I will accept the sannyas order so that people can be delivered. And therefore, Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of mercy and he comes to give Braj Prem. And therefore we find that Mahaprabhu's mercy is at the highest level. Who is Lord? Anadir Adir Govinda. Janma Desayata. That is the first level of understanding the absolute truth. Cause of all causes. But sometimes children always think of parents in terms of how they are taking care of me. If the child finds that parents are not giving attention, they become agitated. So when a soul feels agitated, God is not fulfilling my desire, He is not reciprocating with my prayer. The more I pray, when I was chanting 4 rounds, I was getting many things, now I'm chanting 16 rounds, I'm losing things. What is going on? So that is childish mentality, to think everything in relationship to Him. So therefore, when you go to the next level, in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, you will find God has His own life. That is called Leela or play. And so from Anadir Adir Govinda, you come to the Lord who is Anandam Brahman, who is the supreme Ananda, who is overflowing. The overflow of joy within His heart, the Ananda which overflows is that Leela. But that Ananda finds its summit because the Lord cannot enjoy play alone. Traditionally, play means always with others. Only now, in Kali Yuga, one can play on his own. Even Lord becomes bored alone. And therefore he expands. And that's what the Chandogya Upanishad says. Sa eva saumya idam agra asita daikshata bahusyam prajayeva. So the Lord expands into millions of unlimited souls to exchange rasa. So the concept of Leela and rasa is introduced, and so the Supreme Absolute Truth is called as Akhila Rasamrita Murti. So this is the second level. From Anadir Adir, you come to a personality who has exchanges with his parts and parcels. But Mahaprabhu takes it to the next level. That who is this Akhila Rasamrita Murti? One who is to be approached with awe and reverence? He says, no, Vrajesha Tanaya. He's a child. He doesn't call Krishna Vrajesha. He calls Krishna Vrajesha Tanaya, that God who has been divested of His power, of His independence, of His ability to control, that Lord who is helpless, hopeless and totally dependent. That Lord is Vrajesha Tanaya, that one who is divested of His power, majesty and rights. And therefore, that dependent, vulnerable Lord is filled with sweetness. When something powerful is packaged in a small and sweet way, it becomes even more inconceivable. So the mystery deepens. So from Anadir Adir, the Lord comes to Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Mahaprabhu brings Him to the stage of Vrajesha Tanaya. But then He says, when is the experience deeper? When something is with you, or when something is away from you? The smartphone in your pocket is attractive, but when you lose it, you have kept it for charging somewhere, and then you forget, and you go. That is a Kali Yuga example of separation. Feeling of separation. Where is it? Then your thoughts intensify. Because you are surrounded by people and they are saying, Are Prabhu, lelo na pav bhaji lelo. Are nahi. Kya ho kya gaya? Are, is your favorite? No? No, no, wait, wait. What happened? Smartphone gayab ho gaya. So at that moment, all other people, objects around you disappear. And your thoughts completely focus intensely. So Mahaprabhu introduces the concept that meditation becomes more intense, riveted and focused in viraha. And therefore Mahaprabhu brings in the concept, Ashlishyava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva. In separation, the experience is the deepest, most intense and the highest. And then Mahaprabhu takes things to the next level. That Supreme Lord who is Anadir Adir, who is Akhila Rasamrita Murti, who is Brajesha Tanaya, who is Ashlishya, who can be experienced through Ashlishya Va Padaratam, but that Supreme Lord I will distribute. Patra apatra na dekhi na dekhi sthana sthan. And therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes Mahavadanyaya. And therefore Lord, when he has done something he has never done before, anarpita charim chirat karunaya avatirnakalau, in this age of Kali, that supreme, all merciful, all compassionate Lord has come so that we become attached to him and not the smartphone. So we are so grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he has given us this opportunity to access these deepest theistic conceptions in the simplest possible manner, in the most sublime ambience of the association of devotees in ISKCON. Vasugosh says, Jadi gaurna hoito tabeki hoito kemone dharitamge. But that is a very elevated concept. For us, Jadi Prabhupada na hoito tabeki hoito kemone dharitamge. If Srila Prabhupada was not here, what would have happened and how we would have connected to Krishna consciousness and how we would have realized Krishna consciousness? So on this occasion of Gaur Purnima, let us offer prayer at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada that we can fulfill the desires of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to practice devotional service, to serve others and spread the message of Krishna consciousness far and wide. And let us offer a prayer to all those disciples of Srila Prabhupada, those devotees who have dedicated their entire life for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Many of those devotees are now in their 70s and their 80s, and it is our duty to pray for them because of their sacrifice, because of their dedication to this mission. We here have had an experience of Krishna consciousness, and therefore, out of gratitude for the sense of sacrifice which they demonstrated on this occasion of Gaur Purnima, let us offer our prayers for their long life in Krishna consciousness also. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Dipasindubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So we'll begin with this words from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. Shrutir Mata Prishtha Dishati Bhavad Aradhana Vidhim Yatha Matur Vani Smritirapitata Vakti Bhagini Puranadya Yeva Sahajaniha Vaste Tad Anuga Ata Satyam Gyatam Murahara Bhavaneva Sharanam. Srila Prabhupada doesn't say which particular Vedic text it is from. The purport is very one-line purport, simple. This quotation from the Vedic literature was spoken to the Lord by great sages. So which particular location, what's not yet clear. But it's a very interesting words. The English translation is follows. When the mother Vedas, Shruti, is questioned as to whom to worship, she says that you are the only Lord and worshipable object. So, Vedas are seen as the mother. Similarly, the corollaries of the Shruti Shastras, the Smriti Shastras, give the same instructions just like sisters. So there is original Veda, the mother, her offspring, that is, she's our mother, so the offsprings are also like our sisters. So Shruti Smriti, they say, same instruction. And the Puranas are compared with the brothers. So the brothers, the Puranas which are like brothers, follow in the footsteps of their mother. O enemy of the demon Mura. So we have the name Murari. That is Krishna. The conclusion is that you are the only shelter. Now I have understood this in truth. So on this Gaur Purnima of 2020, ISKCON, which is wonderful offering of Srila Prabhupada in continuation of Mahaprabhu's advent and his activities, and we who consider ourselves the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we need to understand who Mahaprabhu is, why did he come, and what exactly does Mahaprabhu's movement offer to us and the world. My presentation for the next 45 minutes or so is based on the book Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada wrote this book as a kind of a parallel to the Krishna book. Krishna book is Prabhupada's fear as well as his joy. Why fear? Because he was afraid he might not stay to finish all 12 cantos. And therefore, he stopped Srimad Bhagavatam translation midway, finished Krishna book, and then similarly he stopped Bhagavatam again some time and gave the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And then of course in 18 months he finished 17 books of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's humanly impossible to even think, like all of Prabhupada's books are just on his left side. We have the 18 books of the Bhagavatam, 9 books of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then teaching of Lord Chaitanya, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. Interestingly, in 67, that means precisely a year after Prabhupada had experienced his first entry into American society, staying with the Agarwals in Butler, Pennsylvania, and then having a chance to come to New York, and he began talking on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Now, you can imagine the people who would be coming there, they are just interested people or curious people. In India, if somebody is interested, well, they at least know what Japa is, they know what Japamala is, they know what a temple is, they know what a Murti is, they know what Charanamrita is. Here, we have the counterculture, people who were rebelling against the prevalent norms of American society. Everything, habits, eating pattern, living pattern, having any ambition in life. Then the very name is counterculture. They didn't want to do anything with the prevalent existing culture. And here we have Prabhupada in 1967 talking about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think Chaitanya Maharaj, he also mentioned this point. Chaitanya means, Prabhupada says, living force. Charita means character or activities. And Amrita means immortal. So, this book, Teaching of Lord Chaitanya, it has all the 5 lectures Prabhupada gave, summarized as an introduction, quite a lengthy introduction. So Prabhupada says there that Mahaprabhu can be understood, or the book Chaitanya Charitamrita can be understood as character of the living force in immortality. And the first time I read it, it didn't make any sense to me. I said, character of the living force in immortality? I mean, we have Mahaprabhu's pastimes of, you know, Mahaprabhu's devotees taking prasad or chanting or dancing. These are all relatable activities. But what about this character of the living force in immortality? So I guess Maharaj kind of reminded that we have to read Chaitanya Charitamrita when he said, how many of you have read? I raised my hand halfway because this must be 91 or 92, and I was assigned, I just joined the ashram a year ago, year and a half ago, and I was assigned to the Hare Krishna Medicos ambulance which would go to different parts of Mumbai. And that was a time when I said that, I don't know who inspired me, memories fade away, that cover to cover you have to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. At that time the 17 volumes one was available. And I remember I was working in a company and Mahaprabhu had a set, and it was Sachidanand Prabhu who told that Mahaprabhu likes to give this Bhagavatam set or a Chaitanya Charitamrita set to young people. You'll get it at student's price. I said, good. I checked my salary, 1 month's salary, and I could get both practically. So the 40 book Srimad Bhagavatam set and the 17 volume Chaitanya Charitamrita set. So that was the one I got with me in the ashram. I took permission that, am I allowed to keep my own books? And I said, all right, no problem. So practically in a haste, practically just to notch those boxes that, okay, Adilila over, Madilila over, Antilila over. What stuck in my memory is in the Adilila there is a 14 page purport. One purport. And I said, how can someone write so much about, and the verse is simple, that Sankarshan is not a jiva. Vasudeva Sankarshan Pradyumna Aniruddha. So the Sankarshan is not a jiva. I said, so. But later you come to understand that of the four, Vasudeva Sankarshan Pradyumna Aniruddha, it is Dvitiya Sankarshan who becomes the cause for the material manifestation, and Shankaracharya in his Sharadaka Bhashya, he does some tweaking in the code there, so as to make people feel as if this Sankarshan, the sum total of all jivas, is what we have here. And then later when in some discussion I understood, oh my goodness, so that's what the Mayavadis feel, that there is nothing like you are separate from me. We are all together. And somehow we feel that separation, or we feel that you and me are different. And so you do your japa, tapa, kriya, everything, and then become one again, and that's bliss. So, of course, many times we read Prabhupada's books and our complaints are, either I didn't relish it, or either I don't remember it, or either I can't repeat it. Srila Prabhupada was asked by Pradyumna Prabhu, what if we preach Mahaprabhu's message and there is no response? People don't come. We chant in Harinam. Nobody takes care. We give a book. Maybe few people take a book, but they don't read it. Or we have a temple and nobody comes. So, Prabhupada said, do it to please Krishna. We do it because Krishna has ordered. We preach because Mahaprabhu has ordered. And that was a very deep understanding. So, Srila Prabhupada gives one solid foundational kind of an understanding that what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught is a practical application of Krishna's teachings in the Bhagavad Gita. Now the Bhagavad Gita also is a dense literature. It's not like easy. There are no stories in the Bhagavad Gita. So what are the practical, what exactly did Krishna teach? So I just thought, just take one verse. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Four things. Mat mana bhava. Krishna is saying, keep your mind. Mat in me, your mind, bhava. Keep your mind in me. Mad bhakta. Straight, simple, become my devotee. Madhyaji. Offer your sacrifices to me and mam namaskuru. Offer pranam to me. Come to my temple, offer pranam. We see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his whole life, but from the point of his accepting a spiritual master, that is the beginning point when he started showing his role as a devotee. Before that, he was a most arrogant scholar. Very stubborn, very proud. If we understand that whatever Krishna does is with a reason, why did he show this kind of pride? Just so that he can relinquish it when he meets his guru. We find Srila Prabhupada saying that when my guru started arguing with my arguments, I was very happy to be defeated. In today's age, they say that a beggar also is proud of his penny. It's very difficult for someone to give. You can give your possessions. They're also difficult. But it is possible. You can give some assets. You can give money. You can give landed property. But to give your ego to someone else's opinion and say that from today I shall obey only you, that's very difficult. I think it was the disappearance day of Ishwar Puri few weeks ago. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a class in Shridham Mayapur. So Mahaprabhu goes to Gaya on the pretext of offering a Shraddha for his Shraddha Tarpan ceremony for his father. And on the return journey he meets Ishwar Puri. He says, please accept me as your disciple. Ishwar Puri says, accept you as a disciple, I give you my very life. Because Ishwar Puri is taking the mood of a devotee. And here God is telling that, no, treat me like a disciple. So very small incident. Ishwar Puri wrote a passage describing Krishna's leelas. And he says, Nimai Pandit, you are a Pandit. Especially you are a grammarian, you are an expert in grammar. Could you check whether this particular passage is suitable or not? And Mahaprabhu said, whatever a pure devotee of Krishna says is perfect. Ishwar Puri says, I agree, but still have a look. So Mahaprabhu takes a look at it. And the next day he says, in all honesty, in this particular passage, this particular grammar rule should be used instead of the one you have used. And Ishwar Puri takes a look at his passage and says, what I have written is perfect. And Nimai Pandit says, yes, what you have done is perfect. This is like a small blip in this whole luminous Chaitanya Charitamrita sky. But this one small thing is very important. It shows how a disciple has to surrender and how Mahaprabhu is showing with his own example. If we have to surrender unto Krishna, so does Krishna control us? Does Krishna manage things here? So the next point in Prabhupada's giving a nice little summary of Mahaprabhu's teachings, he says Krishna is always in control, either directly or indirectly. Krishna's direct control is only seen in the spiritual realm. And his indirect control is seen in this material world where you, me, all of us here, we actually don't want to see Krishna as a controller. In fact, we don't want to see anybody as a controller. In fact, we want like to see very much ourselves as a controller. And people say, who, me? I want to control the whole world? Impossible. I can't control my home, I can't control my job, I can't control my body. That's a fact. But what is the deepest seated desire down? Now this is something which we all have to honestly look at ourselves. It's only when you read Prabhupada's books you understand that when an impersonalist person or an impersonalist teacher says, you follow my path, and you can become God. It is that ambition which is being fanned slowly. Prabhupada says this fellow cannot become success in this material world. He cannot become a tehsildar, or he cannot become an MLA, he cannot become an MP, or he cannot become a PM or whatever. He cannot become a CEO of something. He says, why not become God? So this is the highest ambition of a lunatic. It's madness. You cannot become that. But this is what impersonalism is. This is what Mayavad really is. I attended a small seminar given by Rabindra Swarup Prabhu about Mayavad and impersonalism. So in the beginning he gave a passage, small half A4 size, and the class was told to read it. And he said, I'll ask questions, read carefully. And he said, how many of you understood it? Be honest. Nobody raised their hand, because actually it was very dense. He said, good. If you had understood it, you would have become a Mayavadi. Because many things which were stated were contradicted later in the second paragraph. What was said in the second was contradicted in the third one. So I said, okay, at least there is hope. And then he began to say, when in New York, as Prabhupada would say, and Prabhupada's own pranam mantra, nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatarini. So people could think that, where is this shunyavad and mayavad in paschatya desh? They are all in India. You go to Rishikesh, you go to South India, and you have this, I am God, 1008 Mahamandaleshwar Swamis who are, there's so much competition for Godhood. And it's hardly seen in the West. So these devotees would discuss among themselves that maybe these fellows gave Prabhupada a bad time in India. They troubled him so much. But he had no institution, he had no money, he had no followers. And now that he has some followers and money and resources in the West, he is saying that, come on, Akraman, hit at them. It's just like a person could have been beaten by four thugs, and then he gets some money or he gets some followers and he says, If you really want to please me, go and bash them up. And then Rabindranath Swarup Prabhu says, we realized, Mayavad, Shunyavad are not, it's not an Indian disease. It is all pervading. And then when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you find Mahaprabhu saying, Jivere Nistara Sutra Kaila Vyas. Just to help a person make sense of what this whole world is, Vyas gave Vedanta Sutra. But Mayavada Bhasha Shunile Hai Sarvanash. But if you read an understanding where everything is one, we are ultimately God, bhakti is just like an aid, an instrument, not an eternal occupation, everything is finished. So, Krishna is in charge here. What is the antidote? The antidote is Sharanagati. My main service is with writing articles, so I always try to see the word origin. Surrender. It is a 16th century word. 1528. Just see how we take these sites as totally reliable information. It's like previously it came in the papers. So nowadays, it's on a website. But anyway, I agree, I'm a victim to that. So surrender, the word, it has sur, the French word, and rendre, or rendre rather, French. It means give up. Give yourself up. And the most interesting point was, it is totally connected with prisoners. That means an enemy who is running away, somebody catches them and says, surrender. I say, all right, give up. And so this is the root mentality. Just like in Sanskrit, everything has a dhatu. There is a bhaj dhatu for bhakti. There is a dhri dhatu for dharma. So when you see, of course, English is not that sophisticated, thank God, but it has those kind of dhatus in the sense of a meaning. So the surrender meaning is totally steeped or rooted in a prisoner. Like you have prisoners whistling and saying, I surrender, or singing songs while surrendering. This surrender is associated with shame, with helplessness, with powerlessness, with fear, with dread, with the torture looming on the horizon. What will this guy do to me now that I have given up my weapons? And this whole package of the word surrender, we use it for Krishna. That when you surrender to Krishna, oh, it means I give up everything. I am lost. There is no enjoyment. It's only punishment. I don't know what will he do to me. It's like somebody says, show me your homework notebook. I said, there's nothing there. All right. Go outside. Stand touching your toes or whatever. So, this is what surrender is. And this is what the first time somebody, I don't think I have even surrendered one bit yet. But the very fact, the very notion of surrender, and there is horror. No. Srila Prabhupada uses very beautiful language there. He says, when Krishna says surrender, sarva dharman parityajya, mamekam sharanam raja, some of us try to follow dharma. And we say, oh, shouldn't I do my dharma? This is my dharma. How do I adjust my dharma? How do I purify my dharma? And Krishna is saying, don't teach me what your dharma is. I'm saying, give it up. You don't tell me what's the problem with your dharma. Aren't we supposed to do a dharma properly? No! You give up your dharma. You also have a problem with your pap. Oh, I'm having such sinful activities. Krishna is saying, don't be attached to the pap, be attached to giving up your dharma. I will cut down your sins. Ma shucha, don't worry. But there is worry. It's a fact. So Mahaprabhu gave through his lifestyle, and then later these ideas were nicely encapsulated by Rupa Goswami in his Shadavidha Sharanagati. So we'll see how one of my endeavors is to Mahaprabhu's teachings, his life's pastimes, but coming through the clear lens of Srila Prabhupada's Leela, because that is much more relatable to us. So the first is accept things favorable. Anukulyasa Sankalpa. Whatever is favorable for Krishna Seva, accept it. So we find Prabhupada accepted jet travel, typewriters, modern equipment, everything. The opposite of that, or a corollary to that rather, not opposite, is pratikulyasya vivarjanam. Whatever is not helpful, give it up. To my mind, what Prabhupada gave up was just few notions. A sannyasi should not cross over the ocean. Anyone knows why sannyasis were told not to do that? Why sannyasis are not supposed to cross the ocean? What's the problem? Sorry? That's the point. A sannyasi is expected to do his ritual, his pujas, every day without fail. What if you travel to a place where there is no holy river, where there is no water available for your puja, where there is no food available which is pure, and sannyasis have to cook for themselves, unless they have an assistant, which may not be the case with everyone. So the rule or regulation was not to curtail the activity of a sannyasi, but to protect him, so that he can do his service properly. Shruti Dharma Prabhu was the president of the manor. Just recently, because of his health situation, he stepped down. He came in touch with a very renowned Bhagavat Kathakar, very nice person. He belongs to the Gujarati community. So the Gujarati community from the UK would regularly invite him. And there is a regular traffic. He goes there, conducts the katha, comes back. So they became acquainted and they started knowing each other's lifestyle. So this teacher said, actually we bring our own water from India for bathing. We cook our own food with grocery, bhoga, bought from India. So our own cooks, our own grocery, our own people to cook, and everything done as if we are in India. And he said, any reason? He says, oh, this is the West. You see cow-killing civilization everywhere, and they also know the rules. He says, everybody is breaking all these rules. There is so much of impurity. How can we survive? He says, I don't even allow, apart from the Bhagavat Katha people who come, others are not even allowed within 3 feet. What to speak of touching me or shaking hands or whatever. He says, this is how I have maintained my purity over the last 2 decades of coming here. They said, very laudable. And then they started telling stories of Prabhupada going to New York, staying with the hippies. And when they understood that this is what this Swami did, he said, the only conclusion is, he's straight from that place. Is it just like Krishna coming down and not getting any kind of contamination? So that kind of personality Mahaprabhu sent. And now we have devotees reading these predictions that Mahaprabhu said a Senapati Bhakta would come. Senapati means a commander-in-chief. So as years go by, as Mahaprabhu's movement also consolidates its position, people will come to know what a great personality Srila Prabhupada is. I was reading one pastime in Mexico where Prabhupada was telling that somehow or other, at the point when you leave your body, You have to live your life in such a way, when you leave, you have to think of Krishna. And interestingly, one old lady said, Swamiji, if it is not possible to think of Krishna, what if we think of you? And Shutakirti Prabhu and others were there and they were like shocked. What will Prabhupada answer now? And after a moment's reflection, Prabhupada said, that's all right. Of course, he always downplayed that. He never made any big issues out of it. But we understand what Srila Prabhupada's position is. So accept things favorable, reject which are unfavorable. Firmly believe in the Lord's protection. We are talking of what Krishna says, do for me, what Mahaprabhu gave. If Mahaprabhu's life is a practical application, Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrit, Prabhupada's life story, is like a modern day practical application. Mahaprabhu left, Mahaprabhu used to travel with a water pot, one assistant would carry that. So, obviously for today's sannyasis, your Mac could be a water pot. During the olden days, battery would be a problem, power would be a problem. So, one day Jayadeva Maharaj was here and he had his UPS, unlimited power supply, big, thick, heavy battery contraption. And so, we were going from here to Juhu. And so, as Raghupati Prabhu was serving him, says, Maharaj, anything left? He says, oh, my water pot. There's no water pot here. He says, no, UPS. Take it everywhere you go. So, after two heart attacks, Prabhupada could have written that I was so miserable, why this happened to me? But he said, no. There must be some reason. And then Krishna showed how he was taking charge of the entire boat. Krishna, with all his incarnations, all his expansions, were there to help him in his mission. There is another story. Prabhupada was telling Tamal Krishna Maharaj that for a few months, while staying in New York's Bowery side, every day he used to go and think, where could I get people? How do I meet people? And nowadays, if you go to Bowery, it's a completely gentrified area. Tall, tall condominiums and swanky glass shops and everything. Previously, 45 years ago, one Prabhupada disciple who left his body last year, Shravananda Prabhu, he said he's from Long Island, and Long Island is a bit nice upper class area for most part. He said, I had never ever visited the Bowery. Now check it in your own life. Aren't there some parts of Mumbai which we only have heard and never gone there? So this happens in every city. So in one particular dead end, that means there is a gully, there is a lane, and there is nothing after that. You should come back. So Prabhupada said, sometimes I have to go there and just walk back. And he said, really? Prabhupada said, what happened? There was a mad fellow with a telescopic rifle. And he was known to shoot at targets just for the sake of fun. And Prabhupada said, I don't know how Krishna protected me. So, it's not like Prabhupada's chart, his whole journey was a success charted all the way. It's like you go to a package tour and they say, tomorrow you'll go here, tomorrow you'll see this, then you'll go here, there'll be some adventure sports. This mission was not like that. So one day in a discussion, Prabhupada said, while preaching, sometimes I would not know whether to turn right or left. But just to take a chance. Next, Mahaprabhu said, to feel exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Again, I have a small Jayadeva Maharaj statement. He said, this feeling of exclusively dependent on Krishna is something which I used to see in Srila Prabhupada all the time. And I could see that gave his mind a kind of an attractive feature. And he said, I want that kind of a mindset. That is a goal of my life. To be always dependent on the mercy of Krishna. Lastly, it is having no interest separate from Krishna. Just see how beautifully Mahaprabhu has given, Rupa Goswami has compiled it, but Mahaprabhu has given this idea. This is what Sharanagati is. Devotees were in the Kumbh Mela, they saw an elephant procession, all these Mahamandalishwars were going on a elephant procession, and they said, Srila Prabhupada, next time in the Kumbh Mela, can we also have an elephant procession? I said, why not? We'll put you up there. I said, no. We'll have Radha Krishna up there and I'll walk below. So even when things were, this never happened, but even when things were at a notional level, Srila Prabhupada never had any interest separate from the interest of Krishna. If something has to be made famous, it has to be Krishna. So, this is how the Shadavidha Sharanagati is given by Mahaprabhu. Then Srila Prabhupada takes on another important feature of Mahaprabhu's teachings. This is the famous Aradhya Bhagavan verse. The process Mahaprabhu recommends is, keep Krishna as the only worshipable Lord. Now sometimes the Hindu mentality or the Indian mentality, we feel, if I worship him, will he not become angry? Yeah, mostly we feel spirituality or religion is more like a super mall. If you go to GV, after you pass Kandivali on your left, I won't take the name, but there is such kind of a super mall where all your personalities are there, there is scope for any additions also. And the whole understanding is, why not? The more the merrier. Are we Vaishnavas narrow-minded or practically fools to say something like that? That only worship? Or sometimes people say, oh, because you read the Bhagavad Gita, therefore you are saying only Krishna. No. It has nothing to do with this kind of narrow-minded thoughts. While preparing for this presentation, I just went through the Krishna book, 90 chapters. Now, this is a kind of a observation. It's not a very well-researched kind of a thing, but I'm just offering it. Who are the personalities which feature in the 90 chapters of Krishna book? And how Krishna has asserted his supremacy or his prowess or his power over them? First are the demon class. They are the villains. They are bound to be defeated, right? They might be wizard, they might be flying, or they might be non-flying, they could be invisible, they could be in gender, whichever, whatever it is. Demons, no mercy. Everybody is finished. Demons in Vrindavan, finished without any weapons. As Gaurang Prabhu quoted the Chaitanya Bhagavat Tashtaka by Vishwanath Chakrutipad. And what things Krishna used to kill the Vrindavan demons? Lips or fists or hand or sometimes just entry into their body, expansion, so many things. Demons outside Vrindavan, that's a different treatment. One of his prime recruiting agents was Jarasandh. He would bring people from all walks of life, not people, basically demons, and they would all be thoroughly dealt with on the outskirts of Mathura. Then Krishna would catch Jarasandh, Balram would catch Jarasandh, and Krishna would say, leave him. And he said, leave him? Why? He says, leave him. And he would go, and he would again have a recruitment drive, take more people. So with demons, Krishna's supremacy, understandable. Then comes some of the most known and formidable personalities who have something to do with universal management. First one is Brahma himself. He becomes bewildered. Indra, he becomes bewildered. You know anybody else? Who? Cupid. Cupid, which Leela is that? No, we'll stick to Krishna book only. Varuna. Varuna is not a villain. He's a demigod. In a sense, he's a big boss of certain elements, and the mistake was committed by one of his servants. Who else? Well, I'm treating these Mayavadis have these 5 Panchopasana. I'm treating all of them together. One is Vishnu, other is Lord Shiva's family. Lord Shiva, his wife Durga, his son Ganesh, and his brother Kartikeya. And a impersonal Vishnu, Prabhupada says, is added. These are the Panchopasana. So Shiva is, Lord Shankara comes in the Banasura episode. Durga Devi, she comes as one of her ghastly manifestations. Then Kotara, she comes as Kotara. Ganesh also comes in the fight. Not a major role, but at least the mention is he came and he left. Kartikeya also. Vishnu, how does Krishna show that even Vishnu also is one aspect of his personality? When Lord Brahma is bewildered, all the calves and the coward boys, Krishna says they are all Vishnus. Not a mirror reflection, but individual Vishnus. So millions and millions of Vishnus came forth. So, I also found Yamaraj even there. Yamaraj has his place, Sayamani. And Krishna comes there. Now, Sayamani is a busy place. You know, pots boiling, oil, and some people inside. And the torture devices and everything. It's a very busy place. Krishna just blows his conch shell and the furnace becomes cold. Suddenly there is a lockdown in the sense. Everything, business closed. All prisoners free. So understand just from the 90 chapters of Krishna book that all those whom you think as great, and of course in the Bhagavatam, 9 cantos, you can have Prachitas, you can have Dhruva, you can have Prahlad, you can have Bhishma, Kunti, Pandavas, you name it. They all show their understanding that Krishna alone is worshipable. There is a notion that at least be in good company. Have you heard of it? Do what the majority does. So if you take majority as this material world majority, then this is a lunatic asylum, then you don't need to think about that. But if you think when we say Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda, when you say that majority, they all worship Krishna. So therefore, Aradhya Bhagavan, Mahaprabhu has said, only Krishna. It's not our topic today as to how that is not considered enmity towards other aspects of Godhead, but I will leave it to those who are inquisitive to read Prabhupada's books for that. Then, Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam, this Aradhya word, Aradhyo Bhagavan Brajeshatanaya, Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam, this Aradhya is also applicable to Vrindavan. His Dham also is equally worshipable. Mahaprabhu, as soon as he took sannyas, he ran away. He wanted to go to Vrindavan. That's what the main purpose why he came here. Nityananda Prabhu tricked him. So he stayed back. Then he went to South India. Then he did that preaching. And one day he tells Ramananda Rai and Sarvam Bhattacharya, I have to go to Vrindavan. So they said, well, it's Rathyatra now. Rathyatra is Ashad Shuddha Dvitiya. So at least wait till Kartik. So Kartik came, he says, I should go now. It's cold. Wait till Dola Yatra. But Dola Yatra, now the devotees are coming from Bengal. So 2 years passed like that. And one day Mahaprabhu is saying, I'm going tomorrow. Now they know that they have used so many dilatory tactics. Now it is not feasible. So at least take someone with you. And Mahaprabhu said, all right. That someone will not be those who are here. I want a new guy. Why is that? He said, because anyone I choose, others will feel unhappy. So Ballabhadra Bhattacharya is chosen. One more assistant is chosen. And that's how Mahaprabhu goes. The moment he leaves the precincts of Puri, he is happy. He enters the Jharikhanda forest, is 1,000 times happy. He approaches Mathura district. He is hundreds and thousands of times happy. And he enters Vrindavan forests. He is unlimitedly happy. So that is how Mahaprabhu said, Dham Vrindavan is worshipable. Ramya kachid upasana vrajavadu vargena va kalpita. What is a good mode of worship? Here mode of worship means, what is my narrative? What is the script inside? People use this kind of language nowadays, isn't it? It's a new age language for understanding spirituality. What is the script inside? The script inside is, we have to worship like the gopis. And just see Prabhupada's words here. They simply loved Krishna without any motive for material or spiritual gain. This thing really intrigued me. Even spiritual gain? We come for at least spiritual gain, right? I mean, even material gain is not discounted. Artharthi is a valid concern for coming to Krishna. Now you understand why the gopis are so exalted. Any material or any spiritual gain is not a consideration. This is that simple love. I used to think that gopis are 5,000 years old. Who knows whether that's history or not. Mahaprabhu is 500 years old and it is still, yes, no, maybe. That's why you find in Chaitanya-charitamrita, some of the purports are so unusual. On the 24 Parganas to something railway line, narrow gauge, you get down at this station. Half a furlong there is a banyan tree. Next to it is a well. After that is a temple, which is run by the descendants of this particular personality still now. And devotees who were composing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they would say, this is not a purport. Prabhupada said, no. By Guru Maharaj sent, Brahmachari dispatched the Brahmachari parties, they would go and check. Sometimes some things would be checked from the Bombay Gazette. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Bombay, that time Bombay meant Bombay Presidency, which meant Maharashtra, Goa, Gujarat, up to Karachi, that was all Bombay. And some of the word, it's in the official gazette, means it is official. So Prabhupada said, we want to tell the world that Mahaprabhu is not an imaginary figure. Of course, we find, I felt especially bad when we go to Godurumadweep, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's home, and the pride was to show that narrow gauge railway, isn't it? That this railway was built by the British for our Thakur Bhaktivinod. He was such an important person for them. Today they removed it. Why? Because you have no use. No use, but it has so much of historical value. If you go to the UK, they find that this author lived in this small house from 1828 to 1842. It's still preserved there. Sadly, that sense is lacking here. Anyway, so gopis upasana is simply love Krishna without any motive for material or spiritual gain. And this whole thing is guided by Srimad Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada says, the spotless narshan of transcendental knowledge. Mahaprabhu concludes, the highest goal therefore is, in human life, to develop unalloyed love for Krishna. I'll just take 2 more minutes to conclude the whole thing. So if Chaitanya is living force, Amrita is immortality, Srila Prabhupada in this lecture telling about Lord Chaitanya's teachings, he says, where is this immortality? Look around, you will find living force. You are a living force, somebody living force. Even the smallest organism, if you are writing late at night and you see a small insect coming on your paper, I always like to tell this story. One day I was having a tough time translating 11th canto, not very late at night, must be about 9:30, 9:45. And this small insect landed on the paper, so I just had to do something. So I took my ballpoint pen and poked him, not very tightly, but a little bit. And he stopped, as if dead on tracks. And I said, do you think I don't understand what you are doing? I fully understand. You are just faking death. So I tried to, but he didn't move. He clung onto the paper. I don't know what kind of fibers he found. So I had this incident for almost 10 minutes. It refreshed me up. And I was thinking, and then I remembered one lecture by Shripad Swarup Damodar Maharaj, Shripad Maharaj. He said, such a small organism, what could be the size of the brain? Think about it. They say that a blue sperm whale, his heart is the size of a small car. Of course, if it is a 30-foot long organism, that much heart is needed. But the brain is very small. Our brains, human brains, are also not that big compared to the body. They are very powerful. So what kind of a mind this small organism has? What kind of a... But it is a living force. Of course it is not showing any signs of immortality. How many of you would like to be immortal in this material world? No? No, then you are in the sane category of people. Not immortal, but a few days ago, a popular UK newspaper said, it is possible to live up to 100 by the year 2075. I don't know. I certainly don't wish to stay that long. I don't know any of us would stay that long. But most of them are saying, so this is typical of newspapers. They put some discovery, something. By 2075, this has to be there. And then the columnist says, well, some questions are still unanswered. The vital ones are always unanswered. What is more interesting is the reader response. A reader is saying, my mom just left her body. She was 93. From age 81 till 93, she was completely immobile and she was in dementia. So who wants to stay for the last 20, 30, 40 years of your life where you just eat your food through a straw? You can't eat raw solid, you can't eat solid food. Most of your friends are dead. Because you are to be blamed. You lived that long. And if you die early, you are in a bad stage of separation. All my friends are here and I am leaving. So almost 60% of the letters were saying, please try to understand. If you leave early, it is sorrow. If you stay long, it is sorrow. And Prabhupada disciple said his father and his 4 friends made a pact. They purchased some land. They developed it with their own money. They made it into a golf club. And when they finally paid off the last mortgage, out of 4, 3 were dead. The last one could not play golf. He could not even drive his vehicle now. The driving license thing expired. That means even if you want to, they won't give you a license. You have to have somebody next to you. But still, people today want to be immortal. Of course, there is this fable of two people, rogues actually. Thug, you know, say thug means cheaters. So one of them goes to a king and says that, I can teach your donkey to sing ragas, classical Hindustani ragas. And the friend says, "Are you? What are you saying? You shut up." So we will teach it. So the king says, "Really? I will need 10,000 gold coins for that." He says, "How long will it take?" He says, "About 17 years. So the king said, "All right, money is not a problem." So when they come back, the next prince says, "You will have us both killed. Now you know you can't teach a donkey to sing music. I'm ragas." He said, "Look, we got the money. So one problem is solved. Right? In 17 years, we may die, both of us. Or the donkey may die. Or the king may die." Now this is exactly what, I won't call them scientists, but that's what they claim. So most of the so-called immortality research, read it if you are interested, otherwise take my word for it. 5 articles on the net and all 5 are saying, this project could have succeeded but there is fund shortage. But they all desperately want to become immortal. Here is Mahaprabhu offering immortality. Straight immortality, that's what Prabhupada is saying here. Mahaprabhu is offering you how to become immortal. How? Prabhupada compares Mahaprabhu's process of Achintya Bhedabhed with the Sankhya Yoga process. Everything is synthesized in Mahaprabhu's teachings. And he says, this one and different Achintya Bhedabhed, the jiva is one with Krishna. Here oneness is in the vision. Different from Krishna for tasting service. We are not different from Krishna so that Krishna becomes eternally the master and we become a slave and we just have a torturous eternal life of pain and misery. No. Krishna fully gives in to somebody who is a surrendered soul. So the surrender of this material world, surrendre, the French word, which means a prisoner being taken alive. And he's like all misery in his mind. Spiritual surrender is just the opposite. It is sweet. It is ecstatic. And Krishna himself gives one to one who has surrendered. So, we fall. We have a tendency to fall. This is the last point. Prabhupada says we have to understand that God has no such tendency. Why is that? Just like the sun always stays above the clouds. So clouds can create a material world. The cloud can cover the sun also. Not because the cloud is great, but we are small. So we have a tendency to lord it over material nature. That is given full exposure over here. The day, the moment we decide that this is no fun. Trying to enjoy separately, neither can I enjoy nor can I actually be happy here. Prabhupada says there, Maya whispers in our ears, don't surrender. Don't surrender. Don't listen to this instruction. And Prabhupada explains why. Then you will be free from my clutches. And if you are free, I can never kick you. I said, why? This is what Maya's plan is. That don't go, otherwise I cannot kick you. To end, Srila Prabhupada once saw a person going with a fish. Maybe it was in India. And looking at Prabhupada, innocently, he was just having a fish freshly caught. Like to have one? And the 2-3 devotees next to Prabhupada were also very startled. And Prabhupada said, no, you enjoy. Now this is more surprising. How can somebody be blessed that you enjoy this fish? Devotees don't eat fish. Prabhupada walked about 10 paces ahead, looked back and said, and suffer. So that is the whole equation. The moment we say, I want to enjoy Maya, there is some enjoyment. Prabhupada said, 10th class enjoyment. Whatever it could be, but the price of that enjoyment is, and suffer. So So suffering is not because Krishna wants us to suffer or even we want to suffer. Suffering is simply because we obey Maya and we don't obey Krishna. Enechi Maya Nashibara Lagi. Mahaprabhu has come to finish off, destroy this Maya. Maya basically doesn't have any reality. We say, what is the illusion here? Sometimes we say, what is the illusion? The illusion only is that I can be happy having no connection with Krishna. That's the only illusion. Otherwise there is no other illusion. Krishna is real, his energies are real, we are also real. But in reality, when we become part of Krishna, happily serve him, not only we become happy, we also make others happy. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. कोई अनाउंसमेंट नहीं कीर्तन का?